has Great Lakes Indian Intergroup website, which is westgreatlakesaca.org. Alrighty. So we wanted to, of course, start with the agenda for this event, which will consist of first going over the purpose of this event, second, basic Zoom guidelines, three, introduction of the panelists, four, brief summary of ballot proposals, and then we'll jump right into the purpose of this event, which is an overview of the Q&A format and then going into the Q&A itself. So I wanted to start with the purpose. First of all, I have to say, I am so excited about this event. You have no idea. As a new trustee, I saw such a need during last year's voting time for me to have more information about the ballots. And I thought it would be so nice to hear from the folks who actually developed, created, co-authored, whatever you want to call it, each of the ballot proposals. So I am very grateful to each person who's here, including our panel. So just to start, there are 12 ballot proposals this year. In February, there were two ballot proposal presentation town halls that were held. At that time, there was some indication that there was some interest in following up or having an additional opportunity for the fellowship to be able to get certain questions answered about the proposals. And for the folks themselves who created the proposals to have an opportunity to provide context for the membership. And so at one of our meetings for the intergroup for West Great Lakes, the trustees, really started by Karen, who I'm so grateful for, decided that we would go ahead and try to host very, very last minute a Q&A opportunity for that purpose to give folks more information and time to ask questions. And so we know that some people who created proposals aren't represented here today. We know that this was very, very last minute, and we're so grateful for the folks who were able to attend. And again, we wanted to have this particular event prior to the deadline to vote on the ballots, which is, as we all know, April 15th of this year. So again, I just wanted to reiterate our gratitude. And now we're going to go into basic Zoom guidelines. So for this particular event, you must raise your Zoom hand if you want to ask a question. At all times, please place your audio on mute until it is your turn to speak. The chat feature is only available for the Zoom hosts and co-hosts. Now, for your convenience, in Karen's screen where you see her, there will be a visual timer or countdown clock for your convenience. And then just going over the just basic Q&A format, which I'm going to just jump down to the basic Q&A format, then we're going to get into the panelists and the ballot proposals themselves. The panelists will be introduced. I might have to add some panelists to the list that I've created on one of my slides. And again, I appreciate your patience. When the panelists are introduced, they will be given approximately 2 minutes to review their proposal. Okay. And then after that, during that time while they're reviewing their proposal, we're going to go ahead and screen share the proposal itself so that everyone has a visual of the proposal. After we review the proposal and introduce the panelists, we are going to open the floor for questions. This is not in any particular order. Questions can be directed to any of the panelists. Please remember that this is not a debate, okay? Each person will have 1 minute to ask their question, and each panelist will have 2 minutes to respond. Please, please, please do not go over the time allotted to ensure that we have an opportunity to address as many questions as possible. If for some reason your response goes past that time, and again, you do have that visual reminder of that countdown clock for your convenience, I will go ahead and verbally interject to tell you that your time is up and that we are moving on to the next question. We will keep the floor open for questions until either all questions have been answered or until the time is up. We plan to end this event at 3:30 p.m. Okay. Are there any questions about the format of the Q&A? All righty. I don't see any
I
hands.
have a question about the time, Erica.
Yes, ma'am.
What zone are you in?
I am in Central Time, so I'm in Illinois. So yes, I guess it would end at 4:30 for others, potentially Eastern Time.
Yeah.
Okay. And really, just approximately from the beginning of this event to the end was 90 minutes. So that's where I got that 3:30 time. So whenever you logged on, for my time it's 2 p.m. and for your time it's approximately 90 minutes after that where we will conclude this event. Okay. All righty. So let me see I could go ahead and share my screen again. Okay. So, righty. So, right here is what I have, and I might have missed a name, and I apologize. So, please just go ahead and jump in if I've missed a proposal that's that's being represented by a panelist. Right now, I have proposal four. Proposal five, proposal six, proposal seven, proposal eight, proposal nine, and we also have two members of the WSO Board of Trustees who are also here to provide or answer any questions related to the WSO's analysis of the ballot proposals. Was there anyone that I missed? And at this time, because I'm looking at this, just my screen, you can go ahead and jump in if I've missed. If there's anyone here for ballot proposal one, two, or three, 10, 11, or 12.
It's Mary Jo. I can try to answer any questions for ballot proposal. What is it? 10?
Ballot proposal 10.
Yes. If necessary.
All righty. Thank you so much.
Great.
10. Thank you so much, Mary Jo. And what is the topic or the title of that ballot proposal, if you don't
10
mind?
is the changing tradition for.
Tradition four. Okay. Thank you so much. Is there anyone else?
I just want to jump in here. This is Karen. I'm not
Okay.
seeing a representative for proposal five. Do we have
Okay.
anybody for proposal five here? They had said they would try to join despite the time difference, but they might not have made it.
And Karen, you might want to send an email because of the time zone change. Because not everybody does the daylight savings around the world. So if they're in another country, they might not be aware. They might be coming an hour later. Just a thought.
Good point. Thank you, Sue.
Thank you. Thank you. Alrighty, so I guess right now we're going to go ahead and get started. We have someone for proposal four. The panelists for proposal four, if you could, which is affirm non-conference approved literature, if you could introduce yourself and briefly provide a summary of your proposal. And if Gabriel, if you could go ahead and screen share. Proposal four, ballot proposal four.
All right. Hi, I'm Julianne V, and I am the chairperson for the We Agnostics Virtual Intergroup. It became obvious to those of us in the We Agnostics community last year that the open literature policy was at risk. If not currently, it could be in the future. Through the research that we did, we couldn't really find where the open literature policy had been affirmed by the conference, and so that's what we are proposing. Not only that the open literature policy be affirmed by the conference, but that it be noted in the OPPM that the open literature policy can only be changed by conference approval. Open literature policy is important to a lot of different groups, and that was evident by the turnout at the town hall that the literature committee had. The We Agnostics community in particular relies very heavily on the open literature policy because the ACA literature currently in print is very God heavy. And we either have to modify it for use in our meetings or we have to go to outside literature. And while we are very aware of the standards that need to be met for bringing in outside literature, we also don't want to lose the ability to do so. So, even though the outside literature policy is talked about in a pamphlet, which we don't think was conference approved, or it's also in the big red book, we just want to make sure that in the future, the policy can only be changed by the group conscience process of the conference. And that's basically the summary of our proposal.
Alrighty, thank you so much for that summary. We appreciate you. Alrighty, so next we are going to hear, I don't think someone for proposal five is here. So we're going to jump, skip down to proposal six, which is delegate-driven conference committee. If our panelists could introduce themselves and briefly provide a summary of that ballot proposal.
Thank you. It's Kelly. You kind of caught me off guard. I was ruminating what Julianne just presented, and then it was me. Okay, so here is the proposal. Basically, it's a delegate. We're asking for conference approval to create a delegate-driven conference committee. This is not a new idea. If you've been in service on levels, especially in WSO in the last couple of years, you may have heard this idea coming up, specifically, well, what's on the screen, the ABC-AWC study group re recommending in order to create a healthy relationship between the annual business conference and the World Service Organization, we believe the delegation needs to be empowered to take on more responsibility. And that's really the idea that drives this proposal. WSO has, it creates its committees, and we know that they've got many of them that do different work depending on either them creating it and seeing the need or it being a conference mandate. At the same time, the ABC conference, the conference isn't just the weekend in April or May now, but it's a group of delegates representing their various groups, regions, intergroups. So it is sort of it's its own service arm, and WSO is a service arm. So WSO has their committees. It makes sense that the conference would have committees to work parallel and with WSO, not to take over necessarily things that WSO needs to do and align with their responsibilities as a board of trustees to the fellowship, but more in the lines of, well, like I read earlier, empowering the delegation to gather group conscience, So that when we get to the business conferences, the not only the ABC, but at this point, the quarterlies, that we have a better understanding of what the needs are of the conference, of the fellowship. And my time is up, and I could have talked for another 10 minutes easy, but that's it. Thank you
so much, Kelly. We appreciate you. Next, we have Proposal 7, which is Modify ABC and QDMs. If the panelist representing that particular proposal, if you could introduce yourself and provide a brief summary.
Hi, this is Mary Jo, and I am actually a member of both committees, coincidentally. This proposal was generated because, first of all, we weren't sure that the proposal that created the QDMs was necessarily very well thought out. There was the original idea that there would be a spillover day, and suddenly in the 2022 ABC, we were voting on a proposal for three quarterly delegate meetings. Our issue in the committees is the amount of time it takes to execute these events from a perspective of both committees, both leading up to it and holding them. There's no denying, however, that in some ways it has provided more opportunity for delegates to get together, but that could be done in a different way. We think that having one meeting outside of the ABC that would be longer would be more effective and possibly allow for more interaction with delegates in that meeting. And that's really all I have to say. I'll see you the rest of my time.
Thank you, Mary Jo. Thank you so much. All righty. So next we are going to hear from our panelists representing ballot proposal number 8, which is ratification of trustees.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Pam. The other people who are here who could answer questions about this are Carol from GWU Region and Kaz from GWU Region. Carol's with Central Coast ACA Intergroup, and Kaz is with Washington, Western Washington Intergroup, which is really Washington Intergroup. And I don't know if Jim's on the line or not. He's our webmaster. In any case, the proposal itself is talking about a way we can get to know our board trustees better than we do. And to do that, we suggest that a ballot format of the ballot right now is the proposal, the background, and the implementation. And so what we are suggesting is the proposal itself is 75 words, which would include the name of the trustee, the contact information in terms of either a phone number or a email address, a request to be a WSO trustee, and the reason that the candidate wants to serve the fellowship. A background of no more than 250 words would include education, work experience, previous and current ACA program service, including planning, implementing, and completing projects and any other relevant experiences and expertise. And then the other part is the traditions and concepts of no more than 300 words would include their interpretation, each candidate's interpretation of tradition 9, concepts 1, 2, 6, and 11. That's it is as the ratification of officers, so we know who we've got and we can put our complete trust in behind them.
Thank you so much for that summary. I appreciate that, and we all appreciate that. So next, if we could hear from the panelist who's representing ballot proposal number 9, which is meeting listing and delisting.
I could go, but I saw Karen just pointed out that Elisa came from five. So,
Oh, nice.
which would you prefer to do?
You can go and then we'll switch to proposal 5 afterwards. Thank
Okay. Okay. So, I'm Josh. I'm chair of Region 5. I live in Washington, D.C., been involved in service at intergroup meeting, region, WSO levels. There's a lot of words in this proposal, but it's actually kind of a very simple thing. Erica, could I ask you to click on that link right there, the meeting register thing? And this will help clarify what this is all about. Or if you let me screen share, I've already got it pulled up, but it's just in the interest of time.
Let me see here. Gabriel is actually helping me with that tech component. Gabriel, is it allowing you to open on your end that link?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Which part of it do you need there, Josh? Can you see this?
No, we just still
Nope.
see the proposal. I think you might have to click on it.
Oh, okay. I'd
I'm
also
causing
ask that
the
we
timer while we're
maybe,
figuring this out.
yeah, we've lost about 30 seconds so far, so.
Yeah. Perfect. Okay.
Okay, and if I could just ask you to scroll down. So this is the form that meetings have to fill out when they register, right? So this is about which meetings are listed and what criteria a meeting needs to meet to be listed, right? So if we go down, if we go down, 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 keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. There. Okay, all this stuff, these little check boxes here, if you scroll up a little bit. All this stuff is all these guys, the traditions and below. That's new as of the past, I think it is introduced in 2023. And these list certain things like we agree to meet the 12 traditions. Totally makes sense. There's a number of these that seem kind of, non-controversial, but then some of them are a little bit more head scratchy, like, we agree basically if we're in violation of California state laws that we can be removed, or that we agree that we follow the suggested commitment to service. Those are great examples of ones that I think are potentially more questionable as to whether a meeting is a legitimate ACA meeting, if they need to meet those criteria. And the main point of this is that's a policy question. Like that's a what a meeting needs to meet to be considered legitimate and listed is a large matter of policy, which per concept six would need to go in front of the conference. These criteria here have never gone in front of the conference. That's the problem. So the solution that's proposed by this proposal is to bring them in front of the conference.
Okay. Thank you so much, Josh. All righty. So next we are going to hear from our panelist who's representing proposal number 5. And thank you for coming in. And I did want to mention that we are allowing our panelists 2 minutes to review their ballot proposal prior, the ballot proposal that they're representing prior to us opening the floor for Q&A.
Right. Thank you for allowing to inform all of us a little bit more. I'm Alisa, and I'm a delegate from Russian-speaking Regional Service Committee. And well, it's a bit late here, so I will be short. And please correct me if I will do something wrong. So our proposal was about returning, giving back the right to print the literature on the territory of, well, Russian. We had experience in the past to print books. We did it, I think, 4 or 5 times. So there were enough people, enough resources to do that. And it was a bit surprising that WSO decided to do everything on their own without some discussion, without maybe addressing us, maybe some, I don't know, words of help, because we already know the situation inside the country, and we know the prices and the lows. And well, as for me, it was like obvious, yeah, to cooperate and maybe to have some discussion. So I don't think that this, decision to do the things this way, it's, suitable for every country. I don't know which country what would decide, but at least I think it would be appropriate to ask everyone, at least. And we have some, we would correct some things in, for example, online books that are available now on one of the platforms. Just background noise, sorry. There were some automatic translation, and the message were, well, sounded incorrectly.
Thank
so
you.
So this is one of the reasons to discuss it more. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you making it this way, especially given the time difference. Thank you so much. So next we are going to hear from the panelists representing Proposal 10, which is Tradition 4.
Hi, it's Mary Jo again. I am not from the group that proposed this, but I was part of a conversation that sort of generated the proposal back when we were doing tradition workshops. There's always been this question about why that extra sentence is included in our proposal, which is we cooperate with all the other 12-step programs. This doesn't mean we don't want to cooperate. It just means that we seem to be the only group that, a 12-step group that has that sentence, and we don't understand why it's there. And further research recently has found that perhaps it wasn't part of any of the literature that we have before the Big Red Book was published. Still trying to do some research on that. But we realize that there are printing, any changes to anything requires printing costs and so on, and that it also, to change a tradition would require fellowship approval, but we still think that it's something that needs to be considered, and I'll pass with that.
All righty, thank you so much, Mary Jo. I do see a hand up for Nick F. Nick, are you representing one of the ballot proposals? Hello? All righty. Okay, thank you so much. I'm sorry, Nick, if you're speaking, I can't hear you. My apologies.
I apologize. No,
That's
I
okay.
just had a question at the end, and it can wait till the end. I'm sorry, I was muted in two places, so I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, no worries. Thank you so much. All righty, I think we've heard, and we also, of course, have our representatives from the WSO. You guys don't have to, go over your analysis at this time, but if you could go ahead and identify yourselves or introduce yourselves to the attendees at this time.
Sure, I can start. I'm Tamara. I'm the board secretary and treasurer, and I'm here with Sue. She can introduce herself, but we just wanted to provide any clarification we can about how the analyses came to be. And like one of us will answer at any given time. So you don't have to hear from both of us.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. All righty.
I'll just introduce myself.
Oh, yes. Sue.
No worries. I'm Sue V, grateful adult child. I'm actually from Greater Toronto area, not too far from you guys in Canada. I am currently the chair of the Board of Trustees, and we're looking forward to this session. And as Tamara said, we are here just to serve, to clarify so that we all have all the information needed. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Sue. All righty. So we're at that time. So I'm going to share my screen. So as of right now, we've went over everything. So at this time, I'm going to stop sharing my screen and we're going to jump right into Q&A. Let me stop sharing. Let me make sure I'm able to see everyone. Let's see. All righty. About Zoom. Okay. It's being okay. So back to the meeting, admitting. All righty. So who would like to start or start with questions? I see Kathleen's hand is up. Kathleen.
Hi, I'm Kathleen S. from Northern California near Mount Shasta. And I'm a former co-chair of a standing committee of the conference back in the 80s that was involved in creating the open literature proposal that was presented at the 1989 conference, ABC, where open literature was approved. And the proposal for the stuff in the Red Book is not accurate as far as what was approved. And as far as any of the changes that are in the, you know, like don't let people who are authors, you know, speak and whatnot, all of that, that stuff was not, the open literature policy was meant to encourage people all over the fellowship to share their input and their material and have a forum within the WSO that would circulate that. And then so the fellowship could come to a group conscience on what they wanted to keep in a much more open and less controlled way, just for information. So I just want to support the group, the tradition for, or rather the proposal for, you know, valid, ballot proposal, recommend that we support it. Thank you very much.
Erica, you're mute.
Thank you so much, Kathleen. And thank you for sharing. Do we have any questions? I see a hand up for Nick. Nick, I know you said you had a question for later on. I'm assuming it's during the Q&A. Please go ahead and share your question at this time.
Yeah, thank you. I just, can you hear me okay? Sorry.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, perfect, thanks. I just, actually, the question was really around the literature information that we were talking about, that the proposal is there. Could there be maybe a life example provided for that? I guess I was trying to read the proposal and understand it at the same time while they were speaking. So I'm just trying to make sure I have a good understanding of what will be life example that they're trying to fix with the modification to the proposal.
Okay,
thank
that
you so
would
much,
be
Nick.
And I'm not sure I understand the question. Can I ask for clarification?
Sure. So you want to change the ability to include or add or modify some of the materials? Is that what? Okay, go ahead. That's what I meant. So I'm probably off.
No.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Okay, the open literature policy as it stands now, other than it's not originally as it was written, which is something that Kathleen mentioned. Originally, the way it was written is how we have it in the proposal, or at least as far back as 2003 that I could find it. That's how it was originally written. What we want to do is basically codify the open literature policy so that WSO cannot change it, that the literature committee cannot change it on a whim, that any changes to the literature policy would have to go to the conference That's basically it.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm a little bit newer to all of this, and honestly, my initial reaction would have been, we would never let people change documentation without it going through a thorough process. So I apologize. This is helpful for the clarification. Thank you. And I won't take up any more time.
Thank you, Nick. Thank you also, Julianne. So next, we have a hand up for Carol.
Yes,
Carol.
this is for Julianne. Basically, before I guess 2003, is it when you said it went into the OPPM? I don't know how it got in there because the conference, the people never voted to have that put into the OPPM. WSO evidently just put it in there. But I came in 1986, and we didn't have, I guess I'm speaking on behalf of this, we didn't have anything other than our own literature. We didn't have any conference-approved literature, so we had to do that. And I like that. I think it needs to stay that way. But if we put it back into the OPPM, then I think we're doing the same thing that happened in the first place. I don't know. So I'm confused about how to vote on this. Thank you.
May I address that?
Thank you, Carol. And yes, Julianne.
Okay. One of the sentences in the ballot proposal basically says that it can't be changed other than by conference approval. We all know that the OPPM can be changed by WSO. We know that, okay, without conference approval. And so we want to specifically state that even though this is in the OPPM, because we're probably not going to get it removed from the OPPM, that it can only be changed via conference approval. That's it.
Thank you so much, Julianne. All righty. Next, we have a hand up for Josh. Josh, what is your question?
Sort of similar to, we're along similar lines to the question that was just asked. I think so. I'm on the Concepts 2 and 6 study group. And one thing that came up recently there is like we were talking about a lot about Concept 6 and the sort of boundaries between WSO and the conference and what does that look like and where is that boundary and what is that relationship? And it's all very interesting, but along the lines of sort of what Carol just said, my sort of reaction to initially seeing the ballot proposal is why would we need to change the OPPM? Because my understanding is the OPPM is an internal policy document for WSO, and WSO could do whatever they want. However, problematically, in my personal opinion, there are pieces of the OPPM right now that actually sort of extend beyond the boundaries that sort of claim to be able to set policy for things outside of WSO. And I think that's a problem. So I guess my question is, what do you make of all that?
Thank you, Josh. Julianne.
I make of that that we are in a transitionary period right now where we are bringing the conference to a more viable state. I don't think we're going to be able to change the OPPM right this minute. I think that it's going to take time for WSO and the conference to work out some of the nuances of who does what when. And we want to make sure that we maintain the open literature policy during this transitional phase when it looked like it was definitely subject to possibly being removed.
Thank you, Julianne. All righty, next we have a hand up for Kelly. Kelly, what is your question?
Thank you. And I guess I have a few of them. So we just kind of go around, cycle around. But I think the first one that I'm thinking about is directed at you, Mary Jo, with the lessening the quarterlies. So my concern is we know now that a motion's been passed by the board to have the monthly teleconferences quarterly. And the feeling is, and I felt this way yesterday at the most recent one, is that's where like all the business, like all the motions are read through, but they're not really, there's no discussion around them. And they a lot of them feel like matters of policy. So it just sort of feel like now you're going to take away the quarterlies, potentially, that's the ask, or at least lessen them. And it just feels like, so it feels like we're going to be jamming more, just go to the website and look at the report kind of thing, without the actual interaction and being able to speak directly to a lot of the business.
Thank you, Kelly.
I understand there's a lot of work, but I wonder what that being, how that working, other than just straight reporting.
Okay. Thank you, Kelly. And just to clarify, I believe Kelly is referring to Proposal 7. Mary Jo?
Yes, and I can't speak for the board. I do know that the board going to quarterly meetings is somewhat in response to having the quarterly meetings, because it's a lot of extra work for that. But this is not a request to have less interaction in general. It's just a request to have more targeted, or even to just look at how this, all of it is structured, and meaning the quarterlies and the ABC and stuff. I mean, this proposal was not created to diminish the voice of anybody. And your questions regarding the teleconferences is that the board question. It's not a question for this proposal.
All righty. Okay. Thank you, Mary Jo. All righty. Next, we have Kaz S. Kaz, what is your question? And what proposal are you specifically referring to?
Yes, thank you. It's Kaz here. Yes, this is back up on proposal number 4. And here's the question. I'm going to state how I read this, and I'm just asking if that is a correct reading. My understanding is that the proposal is actually to make a formal conference approval of the original wording about outside literature, that the proposal itself does not require a change to the OPPM to be implemented, but the implementation description suggests that that is one thing that could or should be done. And therefore, that if it wasn't done, it would still be in effect.
Okay, thank you, Kaz. I guess he's asking you to confirm his understanding of what he read.
I would say that's fairly accurate. Yes, I honestly don't think that I had thought of it quite that way. And I think that's accurate. Yes, it is going back to the original wording. And I agree with you on implementation.
Thank you, Julianne. All right, next we have Michael F. Michael, what is your question? And what proposal are you specifically referring to in your question?
Hi, I'm referring to proposal 4, but before I do that, I want to express my gratitude for those members who were involved in the late 80s when I first became aware of this program. And my question is pretty simple. Could someone explain what the proposal means regarding censorship?
Thank you, Michael. Julianne?
The original wording for the open literature policy says that, in part, that is ACA meetings may draw from various sources without censorship. To me, and I can't speak for WSO, but to me, that basically means that WSO can't come in and say, you can't use this book just on a whim. Okay. Not that it could anyway, because we have autonomy as meetings. Right? Censorship is one of those words that I think is a hot button for a lot of people nowadays. I'm going to be really honest with you, Michael. I'd not really thought about that in terms of answering a question today. All right. So you kind of caught me for a loop with that one. But what I am going to say is it's important that when we bring in open literature, we adhere to some guidelines with it, that just bringing in any piece of literature is inappropriate. To my way of thinking, it does need to enhance the ACA recovery aspect of being in an ACA meeting. All right. But I don't have a better answer for you today on that.
Well, thank you, Julianne. I appreciate you. And thank you for being here. Next, we have Katrina. Katrina, what is your question and what proposal are you specifically referring to?
Thank you, Erica. Thank you for your service. Hi, I'm Katrina. This is about proposal 6. I'm actually not sure who this would be directed to. Maybe Kelly, maybe Karen, maybe Sue. I don't know. But I guess I'm wondering about the response. The WSO response said on proposal 6, it already exists, but it's a WSO committee. So I'm wondering if someone can emphasize the importance of a delegate-driven committee versus a WSO committee that does essentially the same thing. Just a little clarification there. Thank you.
Thank you. Kelly?
Yes, thank you, Katrina. Well, the WSO is a service arm of the conference. So they are one service body. And then the conference is the group of delegates representing meetings and groups. So they are two, they are separate. That doesn't mean that people that are delegates aren't in WSO. But WSO is, it's their job to sort of organize to some degree a lot of this at this point. There's a however there. The conference of delegates, it's not as our group see it, the ones that sponsored this and wrote this, we don't see it as WSO's responsibility to sort of create more organization amongst the delegates. That's the delegates' responsibility to create amongst themselves more communication and more sort of outreach and more ability to sort of work parallel with WSO. So they are different groups of people, different entities, different representatives, and with the ability to handle different aspects of gathering the group conscience and bringing it together. I don't know if that answers your question.
Do you want to know what Sue has to say?
Yes.
Thank you, Kelly.
You're welcome.
Next, we do have, and just for the sake of time, I wanted to clarify that the panelist that is representing Proposal 6 is Kelly. We do know that we have some others here who had something to do with various proposals, but that is how this particular event is set up. Thank you guys so much. All right, so next I have a hand up for, I'm sorry.
Could I just gently interrupt for a second? I heard Katrina call my name for the WSO analysis. Am I able to speak?
So, yes.
Okay.
You're referring to the question that was just asked. Okay, so Kelly gave a response, and then you wanted, and am I correct in hearing, Katrina, that you also wanted to hear the WSO's analysis? Okay. So yes, Sue, thank you. And then we're gonna jump right to Josh's question. Thank you.
Thank you, and please time me. Hi, I'm Sue V, chair of the board. And I just wanna help unconfuse us. Like, we're 46 years old as a fellowship. We're growing up, we're growing and evolving. So currently we have WSO committees that report to the board, and the board reports to the conference. There's no doubt about that. And we're in evolution, so we do not have any conference committees yet. In the WSO analysis, we suggested that all the other 12 steps have conference charter, updated their concepts as part of the way to go with conference committees. We're not against it. Right now, we have an ABC committee that, according to the bylaws, says we need to convene an annual business conference, and so we do. And we've moved away from the board controlling a lot of that. And we've moved it to asking for volunteers, former delegates, intergroup reps, members, et cetera. And they use the voice of the fellowship through the ballots, through the survey results to plan the agenda. So there's no doubt we're growing in those areas. I just wanted to unconfuse anyone. Does that help, Katrina, to understand the difference? Yeah, and the conference committees will eventually be here, maybe this year. And they will report to the conference, but we'll still have WSO conferences and collaborate together as we figure this whole new world out. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sue.
Sorry, I think you meant to say committees, WSO committees.
Oh, yeah. Did I misspeak? Thank you, Tamara. No, what I meant to say is the conference committees, when they do eventually get approved, are conference committees, and not WSO committees. But we'll always have some WSO committees. Does that help? That report to the board who reports to the conference.
Okay, thank you so much, Sue. All right, next we are going to hear from Josh. Josh, what is your question and what proposal are you specifically referring to? Thank you.
I would like to offer a point of information relevant to Katrina's question. Can I be permitted to do that?
Sure.
Okay. It would help if I could screen share. I don't know if we figured that out.
I'm working on it.
Thank you.
All right. This is
and again, yes.
You should be able to screen share, Josh.
Okay, great. Can we restart the timing? I'm going to share this. This is official material from AA. This is the link. I'm pulling it straight from here. This General Service Conference structure. And what this lays out here is a very helpful sort of diagram of how trustee committees, like in our case, WSO committees versus conference committees work. And I think this lays out very helpfully the kind of thing that we're talking about here, which is like right now today, we only have committees of WSO, of the WSO trustees. And in other fellowships, there are having committees of the conference itself is like a thing. And so we don't have any of these today. And I think we can get there at Pursue's point, right? But I think it's also important to stress that this isn't like some new idea. This is like an existing paradigm that exists in other 12-step programs. Thank you.
Alrighty, thank you so much, Josh. I saw a hand up for Kathleen. Kathleen, what is your question and what proposal are you specifically referring to?
Okay, specifically, I'm referring to proposal number 5, I believe, the one from the other countries who want to produce their own literature and do their own translations. I've circulated some information. You know, we've ended up with a huge budget for salaries and expenses and so forth involved with the publishing. And that is
hold on one second, Kathleen. I'm so sorry. If you could put yourself on mute if you are not speaking at this time. I do hear some background noise. Thank you.
So, how am I still talking? Okay. The question of the huge budget for salaries and for publishing expenses that the WSO has at this point is a conflict, I think, and I'm curious about that. Does it create a larger cost to the people in the fellowship than carrying the message to those that still suffer if we have this, you know, the publishing is handled all through WSO all over the world? That's something that's going on that I think is a major issue that needs to be discussed in terms of our primary purpose is to carry the message. And I'm not sure if it has become the primary purpose is to make sure that the WSO can pay its salaries. Thank you.
Thank you. So I think that question is for Alyssa, proposal 5. Alyssa, did you hear that? And if you have a response.
Yes, I've heard it. Maybe, yeah. The late hour works, but isn't it like for WSO question more? Well, I've heard about the huge sums that were spent on all these issues to help the adult children who are suffering, and on our side, it wasn't clear for us why the figures were so high, and we asked questions, we were given some information, but from our side and the level of life, we, for example, I don't know, can see in Moscow, we don't have such high figures, so. That's one of our assumption that doing some things on our side would be like cheaper, not so expensive. Well, if I helped with my answer, so this is it. Thank you.
Thank you, Alyssa. I appreciate that. Thank you, Kathleen, as well. I also see Karen's hand up. Karen, what is your question and what proposal are you referring to?
Thank you, Erica. I am also directing a question at Alyssa for proposal number 5. Alyssa, could you give us a specific example of the problems you're seeing with the current publishing system and how the implementation of your proposal will help? Thank you.
All righty, Alyssa, that was directed
to you. Yes, trying to switch on the sound. As for online versions, there are some issues with the translation. So we suggested our version for Big Red Book, and there were made changes, but I think half a year, it was, you know, well, automatical translation. So mixed letters from Russian and from English, and it looked strangely, but we worked it out. The version for Yellow Workbook, it's still, the description of the book, it looks like, well, not very Russian-like, I would say. Printing thing is that we making all these circulations in the past, we had some printers that would cooperate on the, maybe more loyal conditions. Sums would be lower that what we have from our experience, and I don't want to sound unrespective to all the efforts that were done, I appreciate all the work that were done, it just how the things we can see from our side, and I would like you to know about that. All about this nuances we have with the printing and with the books. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Alyssa. Alrighty, next we have Carol. Carol, what is your question and what proposal are you referring to?
I have no speaker. Okay, so I'm asking, I'm confused. Were the books more expensive for Russians than after it was changed, or are they the same amount of money? Thank you.
Okay, that's for Alyssa for proposal 5. Alyssa?
Yes. Yes, their prices for the books, they became higher, Maybe partly it's because of the, well, time changed. But at the same time, our guess that it can be lower. So, for example, the price of the book, it can be, I guess, 1/10 or 1/20 of the salary of the average, fellow traveler in Russia. So it's kind of, not very comfortable price, you know, when people should, save some money to afford the Big Red Book. And it's a problem because we don't want to be dishonest, yeah? And we would like to respect all the rights and don't want to, people to start violating WSO rights, for example, making some efforts to, make some pirate literature and so on. So people would like to have the books and they are trying to make something up. So yeah, affordable printed books, yes, I guess it should be worked out because otherwise we would have some other problems, I would say. Thank you.
Thank you, Alyssa. Well, next we have
I'm sorry, gently again. I heard Alyssa say WSO could offer something. Am I able to speak?
Yes, thank you, Sue.
Thank you, Alyssa. And first off, Alyssa, thank you so much for everything that you do in Russia and carrying the ACA message. A couple things. The thing that Alyssa was speaking about, the not good translation, that's for the stuff mechanically behind the scene in LitRes. LitRes is like an Amazon, but it's only in Russia. We have all sorts of geographic and political things going on around the world. So there's a little bit of that. And we always are asking our translation groups to do the translation, but sometimes things happen. Alyssa, if there's still something that's not quite correct, I'm not aware of that. So please bring it to publishing and we'll get it corrected. The global distribution hubs and things we've been talking about since we created the publishing committee in 2021 to unify and provide more support to everybody inside WSO and in all the translation groups around the world. And I can't tell you the number of people I talked to who were screaming because it was taking 15 to 30 years to publish books. And they were being charged obscene amounts of money to get their books to market. And so we listened to what everybody was saying, and we talked to the European Committee, we talked in publishing, we talked at the ABCs, and listened and got lots of feedback. This is working in a lot of countries, and Italy, Australia, Canada, Japan, and so forth. We do have some unique things going on in Russia, and we're trying to figure it out. We don't make any money. WSO makes no money on Russia. And a lot of books, quite frankly, very little. It takes years to get a return on our investment back because we do it for fellowship. We don't do it for profit. And so we have LitRes and a print order on its way to Alyssa, and we're crossing fingers that it's working. We don't know yet. And inside Russia, so we get away from all the government things that go on. And we also have a printer for large book orders on standby. And again, when we compared the price of print with Moscow's intergroup, it was comparative. It really was. As far as the other issue,
Thank you, Sue. I wanted to mention that, you know, please finish your statement, but then you went over time.
I know I do, and thank you. And I just want to close on a note, because I know that there's different economic situations in all our countries. And that's why we have the International Literature Scholarship Fund. And I just heard yesterday that we have $25,000 in that fund to try and help our fellowship groups around the world to bring those prices down. And that's what AA does. They throw a lot of seventh tradition at stuff and lower their price of books. Mm-hmm. And so we're trying to make.
Thank you, Sue. Thanks. Thank you. I appreciate you so much. Just in the interest of time, I wanted to go ahead and go to our next person, Julianne. Julianne, what is your question and what proposal are you referring to?
Proposal number 9, and I believe this is a question to WSO. I was actually taking an opportunity to look at the new meeting registration form, and there are two things that confuse me. One is the checkmark for we affirm that this group is autonomous, and the second is the checkmark for we agree to follow the suggested commitment to service. If every group is autonomous, why do they have to agree to adhere to the suggested commitment of service?
Okay, so we were putting all of those things together. And I'm not sure, Tamara, if you want to add to it as far as the suggested commitment to service, but it's in our BRB. I know it well, page 601, and it is a suggestion. We are bringing the meeting listing criteria, et cetera, to the 2024 ABC. For feedback and wider feedback as well. So we'll take a look at all of those things. I can't remember the other one. Sorry, Julianne, that you mentioned. I just heard suggested commitment to service.
No, if meetings are autonomous, why do they have to agree to the suggested commitment of service?
Something for us to think about. You know, everyone's autonomous, but there's a certain level. Let's say, I would say if one of our groups said, I don't want to do anything with ACA, I want to make it a therapy group. And we're autonomous and we could do that. I think there's some things that might be different, but that requires a further conversation. Thank you for that
All
question.
Right. Thank you, Sue, and thank you, Julianne. All right, next, we are going to hear from Josh. Josh, what is your question and what proposal are you referring to?
I guess maybe it's related to five, but there's been a lot of, I was surprised by the amount of interest on this call about proposal 5, and it got me thinking. We're talking about, you know, maybe a lot of this comes back to costs, and then I remember there's the I don't think there's someone here to speak to proposal 12, but as I understand it, proposal 12 is sort of a, maybe directly addressing these kinds of concerns, where it's, as I read proposal 12, it's basically about expanding the potential uses of what is currently the International Literature Scholarship Fund, but maybe expanding to other international literature and publishing kinds of needs. So I guess I'm just wondering aloud, and maybe this is a question for Sue, I don't know, but like, hey, aren't these two things related in a way? Like, could 12 help address some of the concerns of 5?
Okay, well, I will interject by one thing by saying I wish we did have someone here that represents who created or helped to develop proposal number 12.
I think Sue's probably really close to the best thing we have to that.
Yeah, no, thank you. So I wanted to qualify that by saying, Sue, if you have a response to that that you're comfortable with giving, if you could share that as far as the WSO's analysis specifically for proposal number 12.
Yes, I'll do it from a WSO perspective, although the publishing committee was involved in discussing this with the presenters and approved, actually, the International Literature Scholarship Fund and 12. It's a yes and no. So yes, the International Literature Scholarship Fund was originally put together to bring down the prices so that it even free. For certain economically challenged areas. It worked successfully in South Africa, worked successfully in India. Their fellowships grew as a result. BIPOC people of color were coming more into meetings in South Africa, I was told, because they were able to get access to the literature. There's a second part, however, in 12 that you need to understand. This is a restricted fund, so there's accounting and finance rules about it. What they really want is access so that not just can we bring the prices down, but that we can use that money for translations and other publishing efforts in the different countries. So they don't have to pay for it. We can do that through these funds. So for instance, India has a translator who can help translate, but he wants to be paid, of course. He's not a ACA, but he is an AA. And they would like to be able to use this fund. Publishing would like them to use that fund. WSO would like them to use that fund. But we need to come to you guys, the delegates, to get approval on it according to the finance and IRS rules. So if it goes, I'm hoping it goes into the ABC so we can approve it, because it makes a whole lot of sense to help them. It's about carrying the AC message, not to the adult child who doesn't speak English, but it's also the inner children who don't speak English around the world. So I hope that helps. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Sue. And thank you, Josh. Next, we're going to hear from Kelly. Kelly, what is your question and what proposal are you referring to?
Thank you. Proposal 9, listing delisting. So the proposal reads that the ask is for the current and future meeting listing and delisting criteria be subject to review and approval at the conference. So in other words, it's not just approval. It's sort of like there, to me, there's two segments there. I mean, review, then approve, or review and not approve. This sort of goes back to what I was saying as far as, you know, reducing the quarterlies and teleconferences. This was a board motion passed, the new criteria. I mean, I was brought to my attention, I think, the end of last year, but I believe it was implemented like in March. So you wouldn't even know about it. But I guess that the question is, you're asking for review and approval. And if this proposal does pass, what happens to people trying to register right in that time? If that's even a concern. Thank you.
Thank you, Kelly. Josh?
So the position of the submitters of this is basically in relation to concept 6, which is to say these criteria that are currently, and to your point, they weren't really announced and it's unclear where they came from. It's actually, I'm not clear that they were approved by the board. So I'm not clear how they got there, but what I know is that I would consider them large matters of policy. And they weren't run by the conference, which together those two things would mean it's actually having them up there is in violation of concept 6. So this is trying to address that. Now, I would say to your question, Kelly, it would kind of mean until and unless the criteria are reviewed and approved by the conference, having such criteria are in violation of concept 6. Does that help?
Yeah, thank you, Josh. Good point that this is this does affect the fellowship as a whole. So that would be large policy, I would think. Thank you.
Thank you, Kelly. I was trying to see if I saw any other hands up. I don't see any other hands. Are there any other questions? All righty. I'm going to go ahead and allow Josh to ask his question. Josh, what is your question and what proposal are you referring to?
Yeah, so this is in relation to 6, the delegate-led conference committees. And I guess, I don't know if this may be a question for both the representatives here to speak on behalf of and perhaps the board, but the sort of concern I heard raised by the WSO opinion was sort of like, I guess I would summarize it, and please correct me, Sue or Tamara, if this is not accurate, but sort of like, yeah, we think such a thing would be a good idea, but we're not sure it's good to do it now until unless we have the charter in place first. And so one, I'm just wondering if I caught that correctly. And two, I guess I would say, can people please expand, both the submitters and WSO, on like what you think about that dependency, and if it is, how do we like move that along? Thanks.
All righty. So that is open to either of the WSO representatives here, Sue or Tamara. Would you guys like to provide the WSO, whether or not Josh's summary of how he's hearing your response previously, if that is accurate?
Yeah, can I ask for a clarification? I'm really sorry, but I just, I'm confused about the question, quite frankly. I'm not even sure how to answer it.
Yes.
Josh. Do you want me to restate? Okay. So yes. the WSO analysis of Proposal 6, I believe, said that, you know, in terms of this delegate-led conference committee, sort of like, essentially, like, we don't think it's a bad idea. It might be a good idea, but I'm not sure we're ready for that right yet. And until we have a conference charter. And so, one, my question is, did I hear that correctly? And
okay. First, can we go with that one and then follow? First off, WSO tried something different this year. Remember, this ballot thing's been here for 46 years. Town halls have only been here for 3 years. And we tried something different this year, and we said, it's not up to us to have an opinion on a large policy matter. It really is the delegates and the meeting groups out there. And so we did not provide an opinion. What we did provide is, in the meeting groups, think about all of these things on both sides, and WSO gave information and links, and then you make up your own mind. As delegates and as meeting groups first, and then as delegates, what you want to do about this. All we can do from a WSO perspective is share information, which is what we did in each and every case, just factual information, because we believe that people need to have full information and they can make up their own minds in their own groups as to what they want to do with each of these proposals. And I thank all of the proposers for doing it. It's a lot of work to get this stuff up and running. So thank you so much for that. So I hope that answers that question.
That was not my question.
Okay, so
that was definitely not my question.
I'm not hearing you then. So you're going to have it again.
Okay. My in the WSO analysis, what I read was there was a concern about moving forward with a conference committee at this point in time in absence of an existing charter.
Can I jump in for a moment? Rather than having a back and forth here, can we go to the next question and then maybe come with a follow-up question for clarification?
Yeah, Thank you, both Sue and Josh. We appreciate you guys. Thank you, Karen, for keeping me on track with our timeline. And again, thank you guys so much for your patience. I know the next hand that was up was Kelly. Kelly, what is your question and what proposal are you referring to?
Well, first of all, I'm referring back to the proposal that was just being discussed, because that was the one that I was representing. I wanted to make a comment because I heard Josh speaking to both of us. Can I do that? It'll be quick.
Are you saying that you're asking a question for the WSO, to the WSO as it pertains to the analysis?
Well, yes. It's a statement based on what is actually in the analysis as opposed to what's in the proposal. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Sure. Ask.
What we put in the proposal is to partner with ACA WSO. Partner with in planning, organizing, and implementing the annual business meetings and the quarterly delegate meetings. The analysis says an ABC committee already exists. We're not asking to replace it. We were asking to partner with them. And if the delegates are going to take on more responsibility, how would they do it if WSO ABC committee wants to say they already exist? Thanks. That's all I have to say about that. Thank you.
So may I answer that?
Yes. Thank you, Sue.
It's not an all or nothing. Right now, you need to know what does exist, because it's not like something doesn't exist. It does. However, the other part is you're proposing a delegate-led conference committee, really, right? And so we're just putting down the information that the groups have to be thinking about. We are not making an opinion on this at all. And I think we're very clear on that. And we believe that people, members, need to make up their own minds in their own groups, at the delegates, at the conference. For us, it's not an all or nothing deal. It's this is where we are today, and here's some thoughts for tomorrow. That'll pass.
Alrighty, thank you, Sue. I do have a see a hand up for Karen. Karen, did you have a question? If so, what is it? And what a proposal are you referring to?
I'll give Kathleen the floor before I go because I had my hand up, then I lowered it, then Kathleen raised her hand, and I raised it again. So let's go with Kathleen. Okay.
All right, thank you, Kathleen. What is your question, and what proposal are you referring to?
I'm referring to this forum as a whole, and I want to thank you for having set this up. And I want to thank the board for participating, actively participating in a fellowship forum of this sort with the board and the parties that are raising these issues. To me, is the whole point of what we're trying to increase and improve within the WSO format. And I think that you guys are doing a great job. And I really want to just compliment you for taking the time and the trouble to show up. And probably, you know, just applaud the intergroup for setting this up and Karen for initiating it. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Kathleen. Next, we have only two other hands. Well, we have a few, two hands up. Karen, did you want me to go ahead and shift to Kaz and his question?
Sure.
Okay.
Kaz,
thanks, Karen.
And what proposal are you referring to?
It's just basically to what Sue was saying about their intention to, with regard to the comments they made on all of the ballot proposals. This is purely feedback and not a criticism. It's just intended to be, this is the way this came across to me. It came across far less as a factual recommendations or factual points that needed to be considered, and still a bit like criticisms or positions of the board. So while I absolutely thoroughly applaud your effort, I think it fell short of the mark, at least with regard to the way the language came across to me. Thank you.
All righty. Thank you, Kaz. Kaz, I apologize. Karen, what is your question and what ballot proposal are you referring to?
I have a question for Kelly on proposal number 6. And just full disclosure, Kelly and I worked on this proposal together. So we're playing ball here. Kelly, could you elaborate what your vision is of how the conference committee that's outlined in proposal number 6 would collaborate with the existing committees that are listed in the WSO analysis already working on reviewing and reformulating what the conference is to the fellowship? Thank you.
Thanks, Karen. I think your question, what would a conference committee do sort of in parallel with the board, and then how would we come together?
How would that collaboration, what would that look like, sort of as specific as you might be able to get?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the board is, as I think Sue referred to in the bylaws and or the OPPM, not sure on that, the WSO is obligated to host an annual business conference. So right there, we've got to work together. They're hosting it. They have their committees that are doing the work of the board, and the board is doing the work and answering to the conference. As a conference committee, it's sort of like the ballot prep committee. I mean, the ballot prep committee is how we, the fellowship as a whole, can bring items in front of the whole fellowship for review. That is a huge process on its own. That is something that this conference committee could really take hold of and really work and out amongst delegates. Delegates taking responsibility for the ballots, the proposals, how they're written, how they're presented to the fellowship, such as these town halls. I mean, there are so many things that a conference committee could do that would assist WSO. And that's just one of them, but that's a pretty big one, because that's the ballot proposal process is at this point, largely how the fellowship brings things in front of the group as a whole. And so there's that's it has to work together. And when a WSO committee is doing all the planning, I mean, there's a little bit of a conflict there if you don't get more delegates being involved in that planning. And that's something that would have to be worked out. But I sort of feel like I know that in ACA and probably most 12-step fellowships, when things start, it grows by, you know, an outgrowth of ideas and planting a seed and getting 4, 5, 6, 7 people together that are willing to put in the effort. And we have that. And we all know the WSO and the volunteers, they're struggling with volunteers, you know, rightfully so. There's a lot of work to be done. So this is an assisting on bringing agendas, gathering how the agendas are going to run and being able to bring that to the WSO. Because if they're hosting a conference, they've got to convene it. We have to work together.
Thank you, Julie. Thank you. And I see a few hands up, and, you know, we're right now, we're at 3:36. So we're a few minutes past our time. So unfortunately, I am going to have to say that we're at the end. And I appreciate those of you who, you know, who came. I'm going to go ahead and share my screen.
Eric, some of you, I have a question for you.
Yes, ma'am.
Sorry for just jumping in, but do we have time to hear from the two hands that are still raised? I saw Tamara had her hand up and Mary Jo had her hand up.
Absolutely. If it's okay with, you know, my fellow facilitators, it's fine. I was just trying to, you know, keep us on track, but thank you so much. So I believe I saw Tamara's hand up first, and then of course Mary Jo. And thank you guys for your patience with me as the person who's facilitating. So Tamara, what is your question and what proposal are you referring to?
I don't have a question. I have kind of an overall statement, and I appreciate being very succinct. I'm all about meeting management. I think we need to stay on topic, and I will be brief. I wanted to say to Kaz, thank you for sharing that thought, that it still feels a little, not defensive, but it still feels a little in our emotions. And I guess I heard from someone, we worked really hard. We worked hours and hours and hours on those analyses, and we worked really hard to take out any kind of emotion. Maybe some slipped in, I'm not sure. You know, we were just trying to answer things that were still open. But I've heard that from other 12 steps that maybe the board doesn't write those anymore in the future. We'll have to explore that. We are evolving. I believe we are evolving to conference committees, and that is just a large topic. But the other thing I wanted to say to Kathleen's statement, which just reminds me that yes, we're all in this together, right? We're all working to bring the message. We're not different groups. We're not the board and the delegates and the fellowship. The board is working on behalf of the conference. The committees are working on behalf of the board. And someday soon, we'll have conference committees and we'll have conference charter, and we will be like those other 12-step programs that have that. So I just really like to reiterate as often as I can that I'm an adult child with 11 years, mostly sober, mostly emotional sober. And, you know, I just keep learning and growing in this and with all of you. So I appreciate all of you and the work you do.
Thank you so much. All righty. And next we're going to hear from Mary Jo, who's closing us out. Mary Jo, what is your question and what proposal are you referring to?
It's referring to proposal 6, and you'll have to forgive me if this was answered, but I'm wondering why, because the ABC study group is working on creating a charter, which we hope will be done within the next 6 months to a year, why the conference committee can't wait until the charter is done so that it can be, why I can't wait. I'll pass.
All righty. Proposal 6. Kelly?
Yeah, thank you. I don't think there, when we got together and formulated this proposal, I don't think there was any reason to wait. I think this has been an idea that's been brewing. And if this proposal makes it to the ABC, happy to work alongside people creating and drafting the charter, but I don't, there's no reason to wait. And I don't think that anybody, I mean, I'm going to sort of speak for the group. I don't sense that most of the people in the group that authored this proposal saw any need at all to wait. And we do know that a conference charter is minimum at best 6 months out. So we would just like to sort of start getting organized and formulated, and then happy to work under the charter. Thank you.
All righty. Thank you. Thank you, Kelly. And I see some acknowledgement from Carol. All righty. So thank you guys again. I wanted to go ahead and just share my screen real briefly. And this is for those folks who are like me, you know, desired at some point in time, really as a person who really wanted to make informed voting decisions as relates to these very important topics and issues. We have resources here that you guys are maybe aware of or not aware of, but you can always go to the website, the acawso.org website, to actually view these proposals that were screen shared and referred to throughout this event. We also have the recording of the QDM, which took place on the 3rd of February, which also includes some information about this voting process, the ballot voting process. It's a little lengthier, but in addition to that recording, there is also a PDF slideshow, which I went to prior to coming to this event as well, report that you can look at. And there, those wonderful town halls that were held in February, also on February 11th and February 17th, thankfully, they were also recorded, and that information is also available. On behalf of the West Great Lakes Intergroup, we want to just thank you guys so much for taking your time out on this beautiful, beautiful Sunday to be here to extend your knowledge about these ballots. We want to thank the WSO. Our reps were coming as well. I learned a lot, if no one else did. I definitely learned so much. And the stuff that I didn't learn, I am just so excited about going back into these resources to find out additional information prior to my group, the intergroup, actually casting their votes. So with that being said, I don't know if anybody else, Karen or Gabriel, my co-facilitators, had anything they wanted to add. But again, thank you guys so, so much for being here on such short notice. Karen?
Erica, I'll jump in. I want to thank you in particular for your enthusiasm for this project. It's been
thank you, Erica. Great
working with you and Gabriel on putting this together on, as you had stated, very short notice. I personally feel like we were able to provide a forum for additional questions to be asked and answers to be provided. And I thank everybody who was able to participate and join us for this event. And I saw quite a number. I want to thank in particular those folks from the West Great Lakes ACA intergroup that joined us this afternoon. I hope we were able to provide you with some additional background information on the proposals that we will be voting on at our next intergroup meeting. Thank you, everyone.
All right. Thank you guys so much. And that concludes this meeting. And again, we will be posting on our website a recording of this event.
And I am turning off the recording now.
Thank you.
I can find the button to do that.
I just...